My name is Andrew Sakowitz, and this is my colleague Frank Pizzi. We work in Esri Professional Services. And today we want to talk about our experience. We're consultants. I've been working with in this capacity for 16 years. I've traveled to many customers, perhaps some of you. And we really want to share what we see, the tools that we're using, how do we fix, but the most important, what can you do? So not all of you can spend 16 years learning the discipline, but there are a lot of things that you can do. And that's the main point of this presentation. We'll share all the tools, you will have access to that, so we hope that you'll find them useful. But at the minimum, I want to demystify performance issues that you have. Just curious, how many of you dealing supporting more than 10 services, ArcGIS server services? Okay, so you're all here. How about 50? Okay, 100? Very well, very well. So you will relate to many of the topics, like how to manage the memory, you know, with all these services, what should be the appropriate setting of the instances. So let's start. We'll go easy. We'd like to keep it interactive. If you have a question, don't hesitate. Just raise your hand or just yell, and we'll try to answer. If it takes a little bit longer to answer, we'll do it afterwards. We both are available immediately after the session, but also we're at the ArcGIS server showcase, so you're welcome to stop by. We have a couple of presentations today, but we'll be throughout lunch, and our colleagues are there. So I hope that you will have plenty of opportunity to have follow-up questions answered. Okay, let's just dive in. Let's talk about the definition. What do we mean by performance? A performance is very simple. It's just the speed, yes? And we'll be using this analogy of a car. How fast do we drive? Okay, so if you are a passenger, you're happy if freeway is empty, yes? You want to drive like it's 4 a.m. in the morning and all the lanes are to yourself, and that's the ideal performance. But if you're admin or a project manager who pays for the solution, maybe the freeway authority, you do not want that state. You want something like that when we have many cars on the freeway, but they all move along. And that's what we call the scalability. It's ability to maintain the performance even if there are more than one car on the system. And that's what we should really shoot for. We don't want to be here, yes? That's definitely bad. And many solutions end up WebGIS just like this for mainly two reasons. They underestimated the user load, so there are more users on the system, or maybe they under-designed capacity. So that's what happens to our WebGIS if one of these requirements are not met. We really want to look something like this. And it really helps me. I want you to think about the challenges that you're facing managing your GIS solutions, just like managing the traffic. If it's too congestion is too high, it will be slow. There are some interesting things like bottlenecks. So think about this. We have these toll booths. So all these cars are coming from dozens of lanes, and they bottleneck. The first bottleneck in WebGIS are ArcGIS server instances. You can think about these instances as toll booths. What are the default instances when you publish map service? When you publish and you right-click, the min instance is 1, and max instance is 2. So if you're not aware of the impact, you might have a machine with 16 cores, you have 16 lanes, and you just publish the services keeping the default. You limit yourself to two concurrent requests. Two concurrent requests. Now you might say, well, what if there are three requests? The third request will wait a little bit because the first two need to be served. If the services are really fast, so if it takes maybe 0.1 second to go through this toll booth, the third request, it will not really notice that they were even waiting because everything is moving fast. But let's assume that we have service that it takes 1 second, 1 second to refresh, and we have two instances, and we have 12 concurrent requests. Now, the two of them are being processed, and 10 of them are waiting, and they will be waiting approximately 10 seconds, yes? So you see that the queue time really depends on how fast the service is. But we see this as one of the typical problems, and this is how it is. The admin says, we don't know what's happening. Performance is slow, but we look at the CPU, we look at the resources, and nothing is being used. Everything is just running very low. Well, it makes sense. If you have a bottleneck, there will not be a lot of utilization. So that's the one thing. For those of you who are managing more than 100 services, it's not that simple because you're bound by memory, correct?
Yeah.
So you need to think about the concept of which services are being popular, which services are not being popular, and manage this memory and instances. Let's just go through what happens to your system when we apply load. It will help us understand all other tools, monitoring and testing. So as we're adding more cars, the performance is slowing down, just like in the traffic, yes? And it's every system, when you apply enough user load, performance will degrade. Don't assume that it's a bad thing. It's a normal thing. It's overcapacity. What happens? What is the better measure of load than number of users? It's the maps per second, maps per minute, per hour. That's a measure, better measure of success. If you have a system on premises, let's say that you have organization, and we say, well, how many users will be using your system? And you might say, well, I don't really know, but I know that we have 1,000 users in our department. And we will just apply some factor for concurrency. We'll say, we assume that 10% of them will be concurrent. It's a little bit harder to estimate that for a public-faced application, yes? So let's say the application is being used in the U.S. What number will we use? 300 million? How about the world? So suddenly the number of users is a little bit more difficult. It's better for us to think in terms of the throughput, which is transactions per second, maps per second. So you see, this is, at some point, just like in traffic, this throughput will level off even though we're adding more users. How about other resources? Most systems are CPU bound, so the CPU will follow the throughput and will be right here. And that's the number one thing that we're looking. If you say, we have a performance problem, the first question I would say, how is the CPU? And if you say, I don't know, then we recommend the tools to monitor this. The network will follow. So really, the takeaway from this is right now is mainly keep an eye on the CPU because it's the usual suspect. Again, it's a little bit academic, but it will help you interpret these stats that we will share with you soon. Now, that chart really helps us to determine the capacity. And the capacity is usually around 85% CPU utilization. It's very important for you to understand. Now, I would even go lower than that. If you're running over 65%, I said that you're already done in terms of the capacity. Why is that? Because of the hyper-threading. Because of the hyper-threading. You know, if you look at your task manager or MS Info 32, and it will says eight physical cores, 16 logical cores. What does it mean? The 16 core logical cores is not just some sort of magic that the software suddenly figure out how to turn one core into two. You know, that's really, it's an extra boost. And what you need to understand is that when you are running at 50%, You've used up all your physical course. Now you're going into this extra boost of the logical course. And they can only produce effective resources up to 65 to 85% capacity. Why do I say that? Because I hear very often from admins, we don't have a resources problem infrastructure because we never run over 85%. We usually run at 85%. I say, yeah, you're running consistently over capacity, just that the task manager, instead of telling you the truth, you know, 100%, is telling you the 85%. So don't run over 85%. How do we do this? Well, we see performance as an asset, and we manage performance. And we start performance management not when we're in operations. So this is the project life cycle. We have planning, requirements, design, development, and operations. We start thinking about the performance early on in design. So what do I mean by this? Well, you might say, can I separate my database from ArcMap? Can I have database in one data center and ArcMap and ArcGIS server in a separate, connected by some network latency? The question is no. There will be performance degradation. So if you're willing to pay the penalty for this, yeah, you can do this. But there are some things that we can easily do early on. Testing. We represent empirical approach. We test everything, and we build tools for testing and monitors. And we're lowering the barrier, the entry barrier, so even you, anybody can do this. And we want you to subscribe to this philosophy. Instead of trying to have a rational understanding of, you know, what's going on in my system, just run a test, monitor, and that's the best way to address this. And finally, monitoring, doing health check on the system, because your environment is changing. You know, there's a different load, you're adding application, maybe somebody published a service that it's not optimal. For those of you who have more than 100 services, you know, are you familiar with the profile of each service? Do you know that, you know, these are slow and these are fast and these are hot? Even if you spend time at some point, the situation changes. So we need to have this monitoring. And these tools are kind of connected. They help us if we monitor. If we need to do the new design, we use System Designer for that. If we have a new design, the chances are that you have existing system that we can use the stats to extrapolate. And we can run some system tests to profile your new services, and that will be the input into the design. That would help us lower the margin of error and calibrate our models. Does anybody have any questions? I'm talking fast. Is it helping? Anything I should change? Okay. But there is a risk to rely on tools. Tools are just tools. We really need to have the knowledge and discipline to be able to use them effectively. So let's just dive into quickly to ArcGIS server architecture and understand the high-risk components and configuration. We have several ways to architect ArcGIS server. We have silos. So there's a physical load balancer, and these sites are just duplicates. And then we have a traditional site, when we have one site with multiple nodes, and we have clusters. I'm just curious, how many of you are using silo architecture? Site, just one site with multiple nodes? Okay. And in there, do you use clusters? Okay. Very well. So, let's talk about the pros and cons. But as you see, if we're using silos, we need to have a load balancer. So if you have a hardware load balancer like F5, you definitely should consider using this. And we recommend to use third-party load balancer, especially if you're using Windows. If Windows authentication is not required, the web adapter can be used as a load balancer. It's always required when you have Windows authentication. But I were head of performance and scalability person. I like hardware load balancers. I like utilizing your in-house skills because you have other web applications. So if you're using this web hardware load balancer, you should use them. So what do we need to do to make it work, our WebGIS? Just like any other system, requires infrastructure, requires infrastructure resources. And especially with ArcGIS Server site and clusters, these machines are talking to each other all the time. And if they can't talk to each other, their ArcGIS Server site, the cluster manager, needs to do extra work. Silos, on the other hand, they're not talking to each other. So it's critical that we have good network. There's another thing is this configuration store. What happens if we lose the connection to configuration store? Has anybody lost access to configuration store and site reset and you've lost everything? Good for you, but it does happen. Does happen. Now we have made improvements in 10.4, and we have a read only, so you can switch it, and we'll create a local copy. Also, the communication between these nodes is reduced in 10.4. But it's still, if you have a cluster, just like a SQL Server cluster or Oracle cluster, these machines need to be talked to each other. Why do I stress that? Oftentimes, when you say I need to build a site, and we will need 4 nodes. You call your IT and say, I need 4 VMs, and I will set it up. There are a couple of things that some of you might not think to ask. Number one, make sure that these machines are the same type. They have the same CPU and memory because they're part of the cluster. So the load balancer will just distribute them, you know, in a round robin. So if one machine is slower, well, then the performance will be a little bit crooked. And then another thing is they must be on the same subnet. And how are these VMs are being cut? There are physical machines somewhere, you know, in your data center, and they're cutting the VMs and they're giving you these VMs. And you want to make sure that these VMs are part of the same subnet, so the communication between them are it's not interrupted. So back to my slide, you know, we need to have a good network. If you have a config store, shared config and NAS, it's very important that we don't lose access. In previous releases, we were super hypersensitive to if you lose access and immediately reset. Now we have a little bit, a few retries, so it's not as sensitive. The memory, if you have 100 services and 16 gigs, chances are that you need to start thinking about how to configure these services not to exceed the memory. And CPU is obviously related to user load. What are the things that we should avoid when you have, avoid publishing high number of services, and especially during the production. When you publish, especially slow services, and setting the min instances to higher number, it's like starting a diesel, you know, tractor, you know, it just takes resources. And if you can have a strategy for publishing that will publish them during off-peak hours, it will help your stability of your system. Adding removing nodes, there's no need to do it dynamically during the production. Every time we do this, it disrupts the site. Also, recycle times. When we publish services, the recycle time is maybe set to midnight. I think so. And you know, I have a story. I was one of the customer published application that is used by police department, and all the services were set to recycle at midnight. And every midnight, there is a complaint from users from police department that the performance is unacceptable and system is unstable. And I say, yeah, of course, because police midnight is like our regular people, you know, 8 a.m. That's where they go to work to catch the bad guys. That's where they need the system up and running, not at 8 a.m. And you can distribute this, you can change. So be mindful that if you are dealing with high number of services and you just cluster all the recycle and at the same time, the site will be frozen for some time. Now, that depends on how many services and the performance of that. So be mindful of this. Provide the best practices to publishers. So there are many tools and we'll demo. When you have an MXD and you publish the MXD, you really want to make sure that it's tuned. The current publishing tool catches few errors, and there is a preview window where you can measure what is the expected performance. But if your MXD takes 60 seconds to render, the ArcGIS Server Publishing Tool will not stop you. It will just publish. So if you don't set scale dependency, it will just go through, and then it will have performance degradation. So tune your MXDs first. Then set the min and max instances. I recommend that you set min and max to the same number if you have available memory. Why do I say that? Let's go back to our freeway. When you travel in the morning and you're on the ramp and the construction crew says, wait, let us build a new lane for you, and when we're done, you will get on. That's where you have min 1 and max 10. When you have only one lane and you build these lanes dynamically. So that's the first overhead. Now the second overhead is when you have min 1 and max 10, for example, when these lanes are not being used, the construction crew will clean it up. So it will just put back, there will be one lane, and it's happening dynamically. So my point is, if you have memory, if you have a budget, if you know that you need 10 lanes in the morning and 10 lanes afternoon, and you can build 10 lanes and maintain 10 lanes, do it. Just set min 10, max 10, and they're available. Does it make sense? Now, if you have fast services, building these lanes is inexpensive as fast. But if you service anybody from oil and gas industry here, okay, if you fetch all these wells, you're like, on a good sunny California day, it minimum takes 60 seconds to fetch these wells. How long do you think it will happen to dynamically allocate these 9 lanes? It's just like, do you know what I mean? Just give the people these lanes when they need them, if you can afford. If you cannot afford, okay, now we need to think about this. What should be the minimum? And again, this game is very important when you have high number of services and not enough memory, if you don't have enough budget. Tune slow services. Yes, it's just do it. Identify unused services. That many sites that I've seen is that only a fraction of services are being used. Many of them are sitting idle, even if the min instances is higher, for example, 6. And later on I'll show you the use cases of from real field. Okay. Monitor resources. RAM, committed memory. Committed memory is very important. It's not just physical RAM. So if you publish services and you run out of committed memory, even if you have physical, the server will crash. The operating system can't swap the memory. So it's very important to keep an eye on this. The same with CPU and network. The good news is that we have tools, for example, System Monitor, and there are many others I'm sure you have that can monitor these things for you. Anybody using DataStore for publishing services? Okay, that's really good. As you know, that the data store can handle publishing high number of services, but there are limitations. There are limitations in size and limitations in fetching. So just keep in mind is that it's not antidote for challenges of typical services. Publishing. We like that model. We want one well, one service, and many portal. Now, in many cases, and I'm sure, ma'am, that you probably have this, that all your geologists, everybody has their own MXD, and somebody just likes this symbology, and they publish this as a map service. And we have 10 Gulf of Mexico services because they can. And there is nothing wrong with this if we have these resources. But we really prefer to have many portal web maps and layers in one service. How do we do infrastructure capacity? As I mentioned, CPU is typical. You know, every operation, our engines take CPU. So buy the fastest CPU and make sure that it's enough CPU. Memory is important when you publish high number of services. Disk, when you synchronize. Anybody has a collector and synchronizes? Okay. So if you have a crew of 1,000 people and they're in the field and they come to the office at 5 p.m. and they all plug it in and it's okay, let's synchronize. That will be challenging. That will be challenging. And the chances are, especially if they upload attachment imagery, oh yeah, that the disk will be a bottleneck. So keep in mind, spread the load or provide enough resources. Network, that's... especially if you're dealing with ArcMap connecting to a geodatabase. Virtualization. I assume that most of you are dealing with VMs, yes? Anybody using a physical machine? Good for you, sirs. Do you have any problems? Probably not, yes? Okay. So why there's a problem with the VM? Well, the VM is, and I keep recycling this joke, my experience from New York, Delhi. You know, when I lived there 20 years ago, I would get a ham sandwich, and you know, and it was so big, you know, I couldn't take a bite. I mean, there was so much ham. And now in the era of virtualization, I envision this, you know, ham sandwich, and it's probably of that size, you know, and maybe like, you know, one sliver of the, but they still sell it as a ham sandwich, and you know, maybe even in prices is the same. And that's what you're getting. And you do not know what you're getting if you're GIS admin. But you're responsible for the solution. Why? Because in the name of the consolidation and reducing total cost of ownership, we have this virtualization. And how these resources are being allocated? Based on the usage. So if your system is not being used, you get a small ham sandwich. If your system is being used consistently, you'll get it a little bit bigger. But how does GIS work? You know, how does GIS work? Many solutions that we have are similar to firemen. It's just like, you know, we're sitting and playing card or working on the engine in the fire station, and then where's the fire? We go to the fire. You know, we grab the truck and we drive. But the same has to happen at the GIS. You know, if you have an outage application, storm, Sandy. You need that resources, and when you need them immediately. So understand that with the virtualization, you can ask for number of CPUs, and you get them in a kind of logically you get them, a promise, but they're not there. They're not there. So 30% overhead compared to your sur physical machine, that would be an excellent overhead. You can have 100% or 200% overhead when it comes to virtual machines. And it could be just the reason why the performance is not ideal. Another thing is the VM in motion. And it, you know, when you have a cluster and these machines are moving away and they're losing connection to config store, that also impacts your stability. You will see some occasional errors. Has anybody experienced these type of challenges when you look in the ArcGIS server logs and like, I don't understand why I have these logs? And so managing memory is not that simple because our typical map service can be 50 megs to half a gig. So if you have 100 services, you clearly, you know, you need a lot of memory. But if you're dealing with imagery or GP or geocoding, one geocoding service can be, you know, a couple of gigs. So if you're dealing with high number of services, you need to manage the memory. For that, we use System Designer for estimating the infrastructure. And you can download this tool. It's a little bit complicated. It would be, you know, it's easier if you engage us. But we have models. So this tool, in addition to cool features like Visio, we have models, and we understand the cost of each operation and then memory requirements. And, you know, you get the output. Just, it's a little bit overwhelming, but if you're dealing with large solution, that's the way we do. And the input is right here, even though it's a small print, but that's really the logic. That's where the models are. And you can generate these models by yourself using your own test. All righty. So how are we doing on time? Okay. Performance testing. Well, before we do the performance testing, we have to do tuning, and that's kind of an important section. And even though it's a little, you know, technical, but I think that it's important for you to understand. When we have a performance problem, where should we start? Should we start at the bottom? Should we stop at the top? Should we start in the middle? I will answer this in a second, but I can tell you this. Then many customers where I visited, when they have a performance problems and I ask them this question, they say, well, it's simple. I'll just call DBA and network guys and I just ask them, you know, how is it going there? Is database okay? Is network going okay? And every time they say, yeah, it looks good. It's like, well, if everything looks good, why do we have a problem? So the better way, my way, is to reproduce the problem. Start from the top, from the browser. So let's say that this is a web application. And users say, we have performance problems. And you're a GAS admin. You should go. And you say, can you show me? Can you describe what it is and try to reproduce? And then we will profile each operation. And we'll try to determine, is there a network problem? Is it ArcGIS server? You know, who is responsible for that? Now, again, you might be able to do a lot, but not everything. So let's see how far you might be willing to go. So when we can reproduce this problem, we use standard Fiddler or Chrome F12, and we profile web requests. There will be many, many, many requests, but we focus on the one that takes a long time. And here, it takes 5 seconds. So what we've done is we've narrowed down performance from the web application to one request. Okay, that's progress. Now it gets even better because this request has something here, URL, says ArcGIS, REST services, test Oracle, map server. Oh, it's a map server. Good. So we even know that which map server. Okay, so once we have a map server, we try to investigate the history of this map server. And in ArcGIS Server 10.3, we have the stats, and we can go and see is this map service has been an issue, and what are the historical. And, you know, it's available. Maybe the resolution is not 30 minutes, is not sufficient in most cases. There are other tools like System Log Parser, so you can actually run a report against ArcGIS Server will produce many of these ready reports sorted. If you have System Monitor, it will show you busy time per transaction, and you can actually analyze the data historically. So so let's go back. So when we identify that this map service is a real issue. What's behind a map service? Behind map services, ArcMap, yes? MXD, map document. So we can run some performance profiling against the ArcMap. How many of you used MXD Perfstat? Okay, a few of you. So good. For those of you who have not, you know, just look into there. There are many tools, but the MXD Perfstat will give us not only the measure of how long did it take, but it will give us some stats about database if you're using Oracle. So what do we learn from that? Keep in mind is that there was MXD, map service, and it was MXD. And we ran the test, and we narrowed down to one layer. So now it's only one layer, one table. And this table, and the message tells us that there's something about Oracle, because we see that the database CPU is 4 seconds, and it's related to the database. And it would be perfectly okay if you can do this analysis. All I'm asking you to do, run Fiddler, and you can stop. Just run Fiddler and say, we have a performance problem, and here is the Fiddler output. You know, hey, Andrew, can you take a look at this and recommend what do you want to do? Awesome help. Awesome help. If you can narrow down and say, we narrow down to this MXD, and you have MXD perfstat, that's even better. But you can keep going, because it says database. So you can say, hey, DBA, my MXD person says that we need to run Oracle Trace. Run Oracle Trace and tell us if you see anything. Okay, so he runs this Oracle Trace, and it's a very friendly output. And it says, yes, we see there's a performance problem. Okay, but where is the problem? Well, to answer this, we need to go to the next level. And you see there's an execution plan. And if you are familiar with this messages, it says the special index is not being used, and that's the root cause. So the root cause of our web application was that one layer didn't use special index. Maybe it's a bug, maybe special index was not created. But this is the type of analysis that we have to do in order to be effective. And it's just one service. And if you have 100, well, that's a lot of work. Testing, as I mentioned, the VM, so we always start analyzing infrastructure, and we focus on GIS services because they are the engine of your web GIS. And only after that we deal with application. What are the required skills? Well, you need to know how to test. Well, let's start with this. If you know how to test, and in a moment I'll show you that you can do this, and you get the good results, that's really good news. If you get bad results, you need to contact somebody who can tune the system and validate configuration. If it's you, do it. If not, maybe you can engage somebody from professional services or a vendor. There are many tools. You know, the tool that we offer free, it's System Test, really understands these services. It's very easy to test. You just right-click, and it will run the test. But we also can do the application testing, and it produces relevant reports. There are many good tools. LoadRunner is a catalog, and they have different attributes: cost, learning curve, operating system, data generation. So for me, the key is the GIS, the data generation. And in a moment when I give you a demo, you will see what I'm talking about. But also it's a learning curve and cost. So I recommend that you evaluate all the tools and pick the one that it's suitable for you. But before you test, define an objective. You know, testing shouldn't be a journey. Testing should be the means to answering, do we have bottlenecks? What is our capacity? What is the performance SLA? So just really quickly, does anybody have any questions? Sure.
You mentioned that MXD perfstats, you can get access to DB stats if you are using Oracle. Is that something you can do
with SQL? That's correct. So I used to work for SQL Server, but right now I can't access the master database. So all these stats are in the master database, and cross queries between databases are not allowed So it doesn't work right now in SQL Server. I'll look into this, but I know it's broken for SQL Server. But it does work for Oracle.
That shouldn't be too big of a problem. I think you'll get plenty of great information out of MXD PerfStat with or without the DB stats.
Okay. All right. So you're looking at system test, and I'm trying to sell it to you that you can use this tool and you can actually validate a lot of things. So when you open a tool, you add your ArcGIS services, and now I'm testing ArcGIS service, not the application, because the service is the engine. So we test the engine first. So we preview this. Now, if you use JMeter or other tools, and you say, I need to generate the data, they probably do something like that. And I assure you that this ocean will produce phenomenal performance. So you really need to have a map to understand, you know, how you generate this data. So let's assume that we want to test somewhere in this area, and we click map, and it will produce scales, and you say, I don't know, so I'll just click save and close, and it produces the data, so Okay, so you can preview this, and then when you have this B-box, all you need to do is just generate a report. You just pick the one, the load test, and the load test being generated. And these are the step loads. You remember the stairs? So we start with one stair, and we go with the step load by one, and we end up in three. And there's something using think time. If you don't understand, you just ignore it. And we have a load test, and you click start, and you're running a load test. And as it runs, it will produce something like that. You know, so in a moment, something will happen. But my point is that you can do it, and you can send us the report, and it will be the beginning of our conversation. If you have questions about scalability or performance of the service, and of course there are many many other switches that you. If you want to be an expert, you would need to be familiar, but it's not the point. You know, we're the expert in this. You should be using analogy when we have tools for patients, for nurses, and for doctors. You know, we would like you to be a patient, maybe borderline a nurse, and use these tools effectively and pass it to others. Yes, sir. So the question was, is the report for specific scale or all the scales? When you remember when I, by default, clicked, all the scales were listed, and I just accepted them, but you can remove and focus only on specific. There are other combinations. We can test for each scale, for each layer, and it's very, there are many, many options, but that would be beyond the scope of...
System test is an amazing time saver. I think we've had a couple of companies have been working on load testing for months with little or no results, primarily because they have difficulty generating data and doing the analysis. And I think Andrew's gone on several sites and within a few hours has had results. And so this is a real time saver and saves a lot of money in projects.
Yes, ma'am. The version of ArcGIS. Well, we've had this for a couple of years, and it's really not. It will support all the versions as long as there is. So I only demo testing services as long as there is a REST endpoint. We can use it, but this tool can be used even for non-ESRI solution. You can record any web application, and you can play back, and it will work as well. Very well. Okay, so let's dive into the monitoring. Why do we have monitoring? As I mentioned, we go on site and we have a couple of days to fix a problem. And there are challenges. And there are challenges for you GIS admins. You know, you, in my opinion, you need a little bit more empowerment. You need to have access to the information, to the tools. So if you are a GIS admin, SD administrator, and you don't have access to Oracle or SQL Server, you can't do the tuning that I just went through. You can't even generate the Oracle trace. So how can you fix the problem? And we recognize that it's very challenging. When you have a problem, you're at the mercy of the roundtable discussion. Hey, network admin, do you see anything? DVA, do you see anything? And you're just going around the table. For you to be able to answer what the problem is and what actions you need to have end-to-end real-time information to effectively manage web GIS. That's my conclusion. You know, I've been doing this for a long time, and I cannot be effective without information. These solutions are oftentimes complex, and especially if you're dealing with many services, many users, we need that. So what is System Monitor? Well, a System Monitor is a tool that we develop and we're using for internal hosting solution, but also for our consulting. But there are many tools, and you have them, Microsoft, HP, and others, and they're excellent. But what I would like you to do is use this workshop, the presentation, and the System Monitor as a reference implementation. So when you talk to the IT and say, okay, so you say that we have monitoring tools. That's awesome. So can you monitor network? Okay, hardware. How about web service? How about ArcGIS server? How about GeoDatabase, hard DBMS? Are you doing this end-to-end and continuously? So you can look at the slide, and if the answer is not everything, okay, let's assess the gap. And it's really helpful. It's really helpful for us to have this information. That's how we manage to quickly figure out what the problem is. The next of the session will be real use cases from real customers, so you will see the example of that. What are the benefits? Configuration. It's very important for us to know what do we have, what's the configuration, what is the resource utilization, usage trends, which services are being used, which not, which application is being used, performance, uptime. These are the things that we can do. How about now? Okay. Can you hear me there? Very well. We also identify the path forward. So this is not the grade for any. It just it helps us understand the maturity where customers are and make recommendations. So if you're not doing any design and performance testing and monitoring, you're at this level. We really want everybody to be in the green and maybe at a level 4, especially with the trend and analysis. That really helps us to be proactive, to make sure that your web GIS is performing and it's scalable, that you can quickly react to changes. So Frank will demo this System Monitor and has a lot of tiles, portals, lots of stats, and there will be some maps. Really just to give you a sense of what it is. We did a full-day workshop on Saturday. So Frank, why don't you switch, and you need a mic too.
Yeah. Okay. So what we're viewing right now is the portal or entryway into a monitoring tool. And one thing Andrew mentioned is, you know, are you monitoring the appropriate things? But also one thing that's very important is that you have access to it. It's not enough for your IT to monitor it and for you not to be able to see the utilization and resources and configuration of your items. Otherwise, people will call up and they'll say it's slow and you won't know really why. You won't have any investigation tools. So this is an example of an implemented monitor that we captured most everything important to GIS. and system monitor tends to focus on that. So when you first log in, you'll see an overview, a set of tiles. The top tile here is going to pop open, and we'll be able to see a complete GIS system. Imagine you've separated yourself here with dev, test, and production, each in this tree item. And we'll imagine this is production. And we can quickly scan to the systems and see there's a problem. We'll go to the system. We'll actually find the offending item. And we can begin to observe it over time. So it has a tremendous amount of capability in capturing and observing all of the important items over time so that you can begin to understand your systems. What are the pressures on your system? Is it CPU, memory, network, disk? We capture several sections, CPU. We can do process investigations. We can track ArcGIS server down to each service, and we can get all the throughput. We can also see if that the system, the services need tuning. We have DB queries for more advanced sections, and that's used in utility. A top one would be HTTP, and this is for uptime to make sure your system is working at all times. But in any case, you can see the tree is very easy to navigate and validate whether or not something is working or broken and needs attention. So we call this an operational view. We can extend these operational views in these kinds of tiles here, and here's an example of one. Here's an example of production over 6 or 7 hours. As you can see, there's a lot of samples inside of this is a CPU processor time. But, you know, at a certain point, this graph begins to degrade, and so we fall to statistics, and we can quickly use these tables to sort of find the busiest server. In this particular case, we have 300 samples per server, so it's a huge amount of data that's being summarized inside of these tables, and we carry it with us, memory, page files, disk, all the important things, but only the important things. A lot of monitoring systems monitor too much, and they create a huge amount of data, and that then you have to interpret that data. Quickly, ArcGIS Server, we have a couple of great reports. We can list the active services. In our case here, I have a throughput in the time window of 1,700. I'm using 2 services out of 24 in this time frame, and I can see the breakdown of usage. We can move on to say to ourselves, well, how do we figure out which ones aren't used? We'll go to the unused services in the window, and we can begin to see that 22 services out of 24 are not being used. If you have a high number of services, it might be important for you to have a retirement strategy. So sometimes you'll run out of instances and memory, and you'll need to do some reduction in services.
So, Frank, but we can get this information using other tools like, you know, ArcPy and, you know, system statistics. What are the benefits of this tool? Is it important to have quick access and everything in one place?
Yes, it's absolutely important to have this information at any time that you need it because you're managing the system. You're responsible for it. But the key here is samples over time. Imagine you ran this report for 4 months. And you found that 50% of your services weren't used over 4 months. Well, you as an ArcGIS manager might say, I think it's time to retire those, regain my memory so that I can balance my system. And these are the challenges with high number of services. You start running out of memory. Or it's not configured correctly in the pooling. Or someone has published some services with just terrible response times. We'll give another example on slow services. So what we'll do is we'll investigate the active services, and we'll begin to be able to evaluate the average response time. And so this is actually very important. If these numbers were in the 10 seconds, 50-second range, what you know is that service is very troubled, and it needs to be reviewed. Just think about 50 seconds using one of your 4 cores, just dominating a quarter of your system. So this is important that you take action when you see these kinds of things. If you're monitoring, you're watching it, you can actually find the troubled services, you can find the unused services, and you can actually begin to quantify how much work your system is doing. So in terms of management, we'll see this shortly. Andrew will probably demo this, but the longer-term reporting comes in Excel, and it's very easy and flexible, and we answer all these questions.
Do we have maybe something for managers, like a map of where the users are?
Sure. There is also a possibility to configure a map. And for example, in this case, we're able to scan the IPs through the web logs and translate that into a web map, and now we can understand which countries are coming to our site and what percentage of hits are coming from that site. We can break that down into the United States. We can actually show the IPs. We can show a map of the United States with the breakdown over here of the states. And we can also get tablature data here, giving us a more discrete understanding there.
That's very cool. Well, what else managers are interested? License?
Yes, license manager. What are the usage patterns of your license manager? So here what we see is a report of all the licenses in an enterprise. And we see the license name, and we see the minimum number of licenses used over the time window, and the maximum number of, this is a percentage based, and we can actually see at the moment how many are being used and what are the total licenses used. Mm. So this is a pretty cool report.
Very nice. That's very nice. How many of you are working with big data or considering? Okay. Do we have anything for like GeoEvent? Why do we need to monitor that? Are the messages are being lost sometimes?
Possibly. It depends on how your services are created and configured and the care with which you've deployed them. But inside of GeoEvent, what you get is a very short-term result, and you'll be able to see maybe 15 minutes of throughput. However, you as managers probably want to know how many messages went through GeoEvent over last month or the last 6 months so that you can report back up the value of these items. And so over time, we track all of these events. We trap them. We save them for later for summary. And so again, you can see that you can begin to do all the counting and work. I've done X number of map services. We've done X number of geoprocessing. And you can begin report that back up to your managers and show the value of GIS. Yes,
very well. So I just want you to understand that the management, the way we see the management, there's operational data, CPU and ArcGIS server. There's definitely need for managers to have the insight on the usage and licenses and others. And then there's the next area that we're working on is helping admins schedule all the maintenance jobs. We call it tasks. And it's a little bit beyond this presentation, but we can do this as well. So if you have scripts, schedule us cron or Windows schedule or others, we can integrate here and you can have one place where everything is happening, your admin, your utilization, and you can quickly validate. So it's growing. We keep adding these things. And the business driver for us is we have to do it for ourselves, and we need to do it as part of our consulting requirements. When we go to the field and we see the need for this, then we go back to our office and we integrate these new features. Are we good?
Yes.
All right. Well, switch to
What's
3.
Your number?
3. All right, so all these tools are available if you go here. You can take a screenshot. The key is if you type here, next year we'll have a scanner, yes? The CR code
Bitmap
or whatever. Yes.
CR code.
Okay. So now some examples of how we use it and why. Okay, CPU spike. So CPU spike example antivirus. Many of the examples I'll share have nothing to do with ArcGIS server per se, but if you forget to remove your directory, let's say that you have a map cache, you know, and your antivirus will scan this directory with millions of files. That will be a CPU spike. And when you have a CPU spike in a process, and you have maybe map service application, you can observe a correlation that when this go up, so you see it's 100%, this response time goes up. Not always correlation is the same as causation, but you kind of, based on the timestamp, it's a really strong correlation. So that's one case. It's very common. And we always start with understanding the CPU. Oh, by the way, and if you have configured the alerts, you can be alerted by CPU, but you can also be alerted by response time, and the email will be sent it to you. That's what you, admin, you want. You want to understand what's happening on your system and be ahead of the users, not to be surprised, not waiting for a phone call and say, really? Oh, yeah, I'm sorry that it's slow. I didn't know about that. At the minimum, we should know what's happening in our system. Okay, the next classic is there's more load on the system. So we have this throughput, you see there is very low, and suddenly it's going up. And this extra load maybe consumes extra CPU, but the bottom line is the performance, the user response time is going up, and you receive the email. So always try to wear two hats. Wear a hat of the admin and analyze memory and CPU, but never forget about the user. And users don't care about the CPUs and memory and network. They only care about the performance. If performance is good, they're happy. And we always need to validate. So if you go to your IT and you ask them, so can you help me interpret your CPU and memory report and predict what will be the performance of my WebGIS? They will say, we have no idea what it is, and you know, we can just tell you that you don't have enough resources. So we need to have a way, maybe a heartbeat, to monitor performance. Okay, now, how do we deal with the questions like, so you, here is the web user, and here is the web server. How do we know if there is a network latency? Maybe there's a network latency at the web adapter. So you see, I can measure from web client to web server. And the idea for us is to do these tests outside of the Esri technology, because it's very easier for us to communicate this to your IT. So look at that with the system monitor and other tools. We can put a file, a simple file, fixed size, 1 meg, and we put it on IIS. And I execute this command from here. So I measure how long does it take from the web client to the web server. That's the URL, yes? And if I measure how long does it take from web client through web adapter, and a web adapter is here, how about just going straight to port 6080? It's right here. So I have these three paths. Is everybody following that? It's very simple, and we're using it all the time, and it's the only way we get the attention of your IT department. The moment that we say, here's the ArcGIS server logs, and here's the JavaScript, they're like, yeah, I look at my network, and it's fine. But if we're giving them a file, a test case that they can reproduce, now it's much easier to have a discussion with them. So here's my test. I'm downloading this file. And in my case, you see all these paths are following, maybe with the exception of some, there was something. But obviously, it's a simple test case. But if I run this, I can easily eliminate, no, there's no network problem. There's really no web adapter problem. And we did it without using ArcGIS server. So it's very powerful. The next thing is, but we have to monitor this network latency over time. So if you just run a test and say, oh, it's working now, it doesn't mean that it will work all the time. And you see, you know, these are the hours, and it's working, and just stops working a little bit. I was at the customer side, and I knew that that's the problem, that they have a network outages that impacts the big site that they had, and I saw these things in ArcGIS server log, but when I send an email, say, I suspect that your network has fluctuation, they dismissed that. They said, no, we double-checked, and everything is okay. And then I produced that, and we had a meeting, and they look at the times, and they went back to the logs, and they did admit that VMs were misconfigured, that some nodes were on different subnets, and we fixed the problem. So, again, I'm going back to empowering you GIS admins. You need these tools to be able to have effective communication with your IT. You know, IT is your friend, but they need to understand what they need to do for them to chase needle in the stack is... okay, so that's another customer. They said, we have performance problems. I'm like, well, how bad it is? Like, actually, we don't know. We have a lot of complaints. So we set up system monitor, and we monitor this for a couple of for days. I'm like, yes, you do have a performance problem. You see, these are the times. This is in seconds. So it's right here, 60 seconds. So some of these applications take 60 seconds, many URLs. There are many of them, you know. But then it was weird that this is slow and this is fast. Something is happening. So I went back and say, okay, I used the system monitor charts, and it was very helpful. But I really like the Excel statistics because it gives me average P95 maximum, and I just verified using Excel. So it's the same information, but it's kind of in a tabular format. Because here, if I ask you, you know, for this red, you know, what is the min, max, and average? It's hard to answer that. The tabular data is very. The point is, it's slow. Okay. And we also verified the application because that's the application performance. Now, the ArcGIS server, we go to ArcGIS server, and this is from ArcGIS server stats. As you see, it's slow. So we know it's not network, it's ArcGIS server. But behind ArcGIS server, there are services. They didn't have enough memory, but they had many unused services. So look at this. These are the services that have not been used. And that's okay. But what's interesting that one of them had min instances 6, and then 3 and 3. So they have been using memory for services that have not been used. And I said, okay, we can address your memory shortage by eliminating that. All right, network fluctuation, so it's the same thing, and we can use different things. As I mentioned, we can measure network fluctuation using download file or just using simple ping. And yes, indeed, that was the same thing. So that really helped. They had incorrect min and max. So if you look at the free instances right here, if the free is 0, is the number of lanes is 0, yes? And if it's 0, there is a wait time, and application is slow. So I say, okay, you know, you need to add more memory, you need to improve these instances, you need to address your network. And guess what? After all of it they implemented, it just started working. And it had nothing to do with ArcGIS server, it was all about the infrastructure. But we can't just have infrastructure. The IT people, they couldn't really understand the impact of these minuscule milliseconds outages. They're like, yeah, that's normal. You know, other applications are working fine. Why this WebGIS is not working? Well, because you have a cluster and there are some requirements for config and publishing services. So where are we?
24.
Okay. Just really quickly, we can get a lot of information from our ArcGIS server logs, and we like this. Oftentimes, we just come and quickly analyze. But I prefer that we hook it up to system monitor and keep it over time. But let's quickly see what we can get from the ArcGIS server logs. So we have a system log parser. You can do the same thing in Manager. It will take you a little bit longer, and it will not produce these reports, and you will not be able to sort it as quick as possible. But sort by, you know, popular. So what are the popular services? Most of them have average response time very low, so it's good. Okay. But There are some slow services that average response time is 4 seconds. So we identify and we need to tune them. Can quickly determine the instances, the min and max. It's very helpful. Also, the load balancing. So if you have a site with multiple nodes, they all should be balanced correctly. And there are some things that are not in ArcGIS server logs. Like, for example, when you have a map cache, a hosted feature services, the only way you can get the information about the performance if you parse web logs, like IIS logs. So you see this is IIS logs, and we see the tile. And it's very important. Now, System Monitor integrates all the other feeds and stores them for historical information, so you can just preview the whole part.
Everyone in this room could benefit from downloading System Log Parser to begin understanding your throughput.
So really, in summary, we recommend that you think about the performance from the beginning when you design the system, start testing very early, do health checks, and do the monitoring. Understand the value of architecture capacity planning, performance testing, monitoring, trend analysis. It will pay off. And with these free tools, we're lowering the barrier and the cost of implementing that. We recommend this because we have learned that that's the best practice, and that's really the only way we can ensure that your WebGIS is working fast, and it's scalable, and it's stable. And we have 4 minutes for questions. 3 minutes. Okay. Yes, sir.
Obviously, System Monitor is the best tool for this, but are there any metrics from like Google Analytics that you could use or to kind of help with some of this?
The question was, are there any value of other tools like Google Analytics? For management, yes. For management, yes, because it will tell you where they're coming from and which services are being, which URLs are being used. So you still would need to. Does Google Analytics offer performance? I don't know.
I was just thinking more like the real time, which kind of tells you how many people are at the site, you know, in real time, and you know, kind of the number of requests per second.
I'm not sure if these tools can track internal IPs. So for external users, yes. For internal, I think that they will not have. Yes, definitely there is a value. You know, any information is better than no information. And knowing how many users and who, you know, what are the peak, it's the beginning. With System Monitor, we have this capability as well. So we can implement, if you don't have Google Analytics and you're really interested in all the specifics, we can implement this as well. Yes? Yes,
ma'am. You mentioned you did a workshop on Saturday.
Yes.
Is there more training available?
So we work in professional services. There is no formal ad services training for this. But we do offer on-site workshops, on-site services, and we will have a training in Redlands. We're setting this up. So right now, there is no schedule, but it's either you can come to Redlands or we can go to you. And if there are any distributors, we do offer workshops for distributors. Actually, be going to Canada and Europe. You know, next week's. Does anybody else have any questions? Yes, sir.
Does this tool work just as well for like cloud infrastructure as physical?
Can you show the cloud?
Sure.
You need to switch to yours. So it works very well with the cloud because our hosting solutions are in the cloud. So we developed this for the cloud as well. So it has Amazon, and you will have much more than a CloudWatch because we enable some of these counters through the scripts. But yes, we live in this world. So yes.
Can this be installed on like my desktop, or does it have to be installed on a
To implement this, there are two paths. There's on-premises, and you have to install everything. Mainly, there has to be a repository and a collector. And then there's another that you can... We have a cloud hosting solution, so we manage repository. You just install a lightweight collector. All of these things are running as Windows service, and the Windows service needs to run as a user who is admin on all the Windows machines. So if you have a system that permits that, that's fine, because the resources are not that significant. It could be desktop. But I know that most ITs are not allowing creating your own Windows services on your desktop. Even though you manage to do this, at night they come with the script and they see, okay, this is a service not authorized, and they will shut it down. And if you're that case, then you need to ensure that once we create the service, that it will be running. Because if it's stopped, you will have gaps and you will be confused. Why I don't see my data?
Yeah, I think a direct answer on if you want to bring it in-house, you'll need a small dedicated machine, probably four cores, with about 50 to 100 gigs of data. It depends on how big your site is. And that should be enough to set up all the monitoring capabilities in your own internal site.
And that varies. You know, I see some customers who have a really high number of servers, and they need some extra room. But if you have a couple of machines, that could be nothing. But 50 gigs is probably a good start. Most disks come with that capacity. Keep in mind is that you can run reports, you can keep the data for a year, because we aggregate data every 14 days. So it's kind of self-healing. We don't just store the data. One of the challenges with ArcGIS service statistics is that they will maintain these stats forever, and if you want to keep a low resolution, you need to budget the space and then kind of clean up. In our case, we're just handling this. Any other questions? Well, if not, thank you so much for coming. We appreciate. It's very important, you know. If I may ask you, please take a second to submit evaluation. It's important that we hear back from you, whether it's valuable or not. So please submit that and let us know what you think about the session. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.